Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Well, we want to welcome all of you out today. We know that there are a lot of other things you could be doing. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing more important. There's nothing that will yield more fruit. There's nothing that will establish you more than coming and sitting at the feet of Jesus by coming and sitting at to hear his word. God's word is full of life. It is life to everybody who finds them and health to all of our flesh. And so we welcome you here this morning. I'm excited about what I'll get the chance to share with you this morning. I'm excited to share, and there's something that the Lord has been just really rolling around in my heart, and I'm excited to share it with you because I believe in my heart that God is preparing us for something. I believe he's getting us ready for something. He's had that something for us for a very long time, but he's getting us ready for it. He's been ready for us. Now he's getting us ready for him. Amen. So I'm excited about that. So about a month and a half ago, I was out on my back porch about to do my morning devotional. And I had some things just kind of weighing on my heart. I want to ask a question. How many people are there in here today who are believing God for something, who's believing God for something that it seems like it's taking a while? You heard those things, you deposited those things, or those things were deposited in your heart a long time ago. You know you heard God speak it. You know it's something that God wants you to have, that he desires for you to have, but you've not seen it manifest yet. Are there any people in, go ahead and raise your hand. Good. So I'm in the right place. Amen. And so I was in that place that morning. And many mornings, but anyway, on that morning, I was in that place where I had those things just kind of weighing on my mind. And usually when that happens, what I do is I go to the Lord and I start to talk to him about it. And really, because they're so weighty, I spend my whole time in devotion talking to him about those things, just kind of talking. And so I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about that, and in a flash, in just a moment, I decided, you know, I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to bombard God with all of these things. He's heard it before. Instead, I'm going to ask him what he's thinking about today. And I remember, I'm serious, I'm not just playing. I remember saying, Lord, you know what? I want to know what you're thinking about today. I want to know what's on your mind. And when I did that, to both my surprise and to my delight, God started talking to me about the thing that was on my mind. God is mindful of me. God is mindful of you. You're on God's mind all the time. God is thinking about you. Say that with me. Say, God, my Father, is thinking about me. He's thinking about, point to you, he's thinking about me. And so he starts to talk to me, and he starts, you know, when God talks to us, he talks to us through his word. Amen. So he takes me to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, and that's where we're going to go today. That's going to be our golden text. And it reads, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And so I'm thinking about that. I'm kind of meditating on that. And he takes me to a second scripture. And that one is in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. And it reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So God is speaking to me about the thing that's on my mind, the thing that is deposited into my heart, the thing that I'm holding on to. And he starts to give me instructions. He says, son, he says, hold fast the profession of your faith. Hold fast to that thing that I've deposited on the inside of you. Hold fast to it. Now, to hold fast doesn't mean the same thing as to hold on to. Did you know that? To hold fast to means to stick to or to become stuck to, either physically or mentally. It means to cleave, to cling like ivy, to stay put, to stick like glue. And I like this last one. It means to hold on like a pit bull. Now, these came right out of the dictionary. It means to hold on like a pit bull. Did you know that a pit bull is such an do you know why a pit bull is such an effective a fighter? You know, you hear all these things about pit bull. The reason a pit bull is such a dangerous, such an effective fighter is because when he latches on to his opponent, he doesn't let go. We had I knew a guy once that had a big, pretty black pit bull, and his neighbor had a big, pretty bull. And one day the neighbor came over to his house and he was upset. He was mad. And he was talking about suing the young man. He said, listen, your dog came over to my pasture and killed my bull. And, technically what the dog did was went over, grabbed the bull by the neck and didn't let go of it. I know that's kind of graphic, but I want you to get the picture. God said, hold fast. He didn't say hold on to. He said, hold fast the profession of your faith. Hold fast. This is instructions from him. Hold fast to that thing. He said, and don't waver. To waver means to alternate between two different opinions or actions. It means to be indecisive. It means to change your mind and to go back and forth, to be hot and cold. He says, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Now, I know that I'm the only person in here who has this kind of issue with wavering every now and then. I know everybody else lays hold on to the word of God, and I tell you what, there is nothing that moves them. I'm sure of that. But every now and then, man, even though I know there are things that God has spoken to me, even though I know the things that God wants me to do or wants me to have, there are times when conditions or storms or the wind, there are times when I get a little bit shaky. And James talks about the man who wavers. He says, let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from God. So God says, if God says, listen, I want you to hold fast and I don't want you to waver, it means God would never tell us to do something that we're not able to do. Amen. And so if he says, hold fast, don't waver, then there is a way to hold fast to the promise of God and not waver. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, there have been times when I've wavered. And I know that if I waver and I'm not going to receive anything from God, I need to not waver. So I'm thinking about this, but I don't say anything to him about it. But he addresses it. And he addresses it by taking me to the scripture that he mentioned to me before. He says, Tommy, this is how you can hold fast without wavering. He said, number one, know that the Lord your God, He is God. Know this. Establish it in your mind. The word know means to ascertain through or by observation. He said, go back and look at my track record. Search the scriptures and see that I've been faithful to the generations before you. He says, observe what I've done in your own life. Think about the victories that you've seen in your own life. He says, go in and check out the prophets even and look at what I'm going to do in the future and see that I'm faithful. No, establish in your heart through observation. Go ahead and check it out. But whatever it takes, establish in your heart right now that the Lord your God, He is God. He is God. And to be God for us, we know that God, our God is omnipotent, which means that he's all powerful. God is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything, he's all knowing. And he is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere all the time. In other words, he said, meditate on this. Take the scriptures and meditate on it. He's telling me how to hold fast to the promise without wavering. So he says, consider who I am. You know, God is our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. He's the Lord who is near. The Lord is here. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord our peace. He is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Israel. He is the God of America. He says, no, establish in your heart right now that the Lord your God, I am God. He says, number two, know that the Lord your God, establish this in your heart, that the Lord your God, he is faithful. He said, I'm faithful. You know I am. And then number three, he said, no, go ahead and establish in your heart that the Lord your God, he keeps his covenant. He keeps his covenant. He said, I keep my word now. I'm going to keep my word, you know that. But I like this. He didn't just say, I keep my covenant. He said, I keep covenant and mercy. Now, for me, this was huge. Because I realized when he said, I keep covenant and mercy, I realized that in those times when I'm believing God for something, when I'm standing, when I'm confessing, and I just happen to waver just a little bit, his mercy kicks in. His mercy kicks in. And by his Holy Spirit, he brings that word back up to my attention. He gives me scriptures and let me reestablish my foundation. He puts me in remembrance while I'm sitting here on the seat and listening to Pastor Joel preach. It strengthens my faith. That is his mercy. In other words, he does not disqualify us when the wind blows and things aren't just right and you get a little shaky. He does not give up on you. No, God is faithful and he's merciful. In fact, he is so determined that you accomplish his will and his purpose that he makes sure that you hold fast. God placed desires in your heart. And he is fully committed to help you to accomplish those things, to receive those things. He doesn't give up on you. Even when you miss it big, his mercy kicks in and he says, boy, I'm on your side. Son, we're sons and daughters, you know. He says, son, I want you to win. Son, I want you to have peace. Son, I want you to have your inheritance. Son, you're my son, you know. You're my daughter, you know. He's on our side. So he keeps his covenant and his mercy. to 1,000 generations to them that love him and keep his commandment. I got to wondering about that 1,000 generation thing. Okay. I know nobody else has done this. But I got to thinking, because I didn't have any perception at all about, you know, how long a generation was. Sorry. So I had to check it out, because the last thing I'd want to find out is that God keeps covenant to 1,000 generations, and I just happen to be 1,000 generation 1,001. Anyway, so I did what every good Christian would do. I Googled it. And so I found out that from Adam's generation, from Adam to me now, there's about 130 to 150 generations. You know, nobody's going to agree on everything. So let's just say 150 generations. 150 generations. That would mean, if that's true, that would mean that there are at least 850 more generations to come after us. So that forever settled that. Now, what God is saying is that he keeps his covenant and his mercy to every generation. Psalm 105 says something really. It says, Psalm 105 verse 8 says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. The Knox translation says, he keeps in everlasting memory that covenant of his, that promise which 1,000 generations might not cancel. Oh, I love that. Nothing can keep him from honoring and keeping his word. Time can't stop him. Circumstances can't stop him. Violence cannot stop him. For the church, we have a bright future, you know. Doesn't matter what the media says. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We have a bright future because we have a God who keeps covenant to every generation. Amen. How do we resolve this wavering thing? Know that the Lord your God, he is God. Know that the Lord your God, he is faithful. Know that the Lord your God, he keeps covenant and mercies to 1,000 generations, to them that love him and keep his commandment. That word keep his commandment, among other things, means to attend to the person who will attend, give their attention to God's word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to all that find them and health to all of their flesh. He keeps his covenant to those who keep his commandment. Keep. Another word is to lay wait for. You know, Jesus said that the man who, in Luke 6, 47, he says, the man who comes to me and hears my words and doeth them, I will tell you what he is like. He is like a man who digs deep down to the bedrock and builds his foundation on that rock. And when the wind and the storms come, at the end of the storm, his house is left standing. God keeps his covenant. God desires to keep his covenant. Now, to everything, there is a God side and a man side. God has done his side. God has done his part. But we have a part to do. We have a part to play. And that part is to go to God and get his word, to listen, to sit at his feet, to sit under his word, to hear his word, and to do it. And he says, for that man who will do it, he will see the goodness of the Lord. He will experience my best. Amen? Are you still with me? Yes. Praise God. So after that, I'll just mention briefly about God's commandment. You know, he said, to those that love me and keep my commandment. You know, for us in the New Testament commandment is to love one another. That's right. And we've been talking about this. Pastor Joel has always talked about it, but we were talking about it. This love thing is extremely important. If you purpose to do everything that you do out of love, you will see the goodness of God. You will see God's hand operate in your life without any hindrances at all. You will see it because God is love. And you know, we as believers, we live, this life is a life of faith. We live by faith. Faith works by love. So we keep his commandments, we love one another, and we embrace his word as truth. Right after that, moving right along, God gave me an example of a man who counted him faithful. He took me to the story of Caleb. And, you know, Caleb was one of the men who were among the spies who went to spy out the land of Canaan, the children of Israel. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And Pastor Joel was talking about this in his message last week. And Caleb went into to spy out the land with the spies. And there are 12 spies, each one representing the tribes of Israel. There was one person from each tribe. And these men were leaders within the tribe. And so you have to understand, when they came back with their report, the people listened to them. So they all go in, they spy out the land, they come back and they give their reports. 10 of them give an evil report. They say, listen, the land is just like God said it is. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Check out the size of these grapes. Said, but the cities are fortified with walls, strong walls, and there are giants in the land. And so we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we are in their eyes. We are not able to possess the land. That was the evil report. They said something that was contrary to what God had told them, what he had said. And so they come back and they get the people all upset and afraid. Now Joshua and Caleb comes back, and they come back and they report to the people exactly what they saw, which was exactly what God had said. And so the people are all upset and they're mad, they're full of fear. And this guy named Caleb steps up between the people and Moses and he says, listen, I went in, I saw the land, it's just like God said it would be. He said, and God has said we can go up. Yep, there are giants in there. The cities are fortified, but God said we are able to take it. He said, in fact, we should go up at once and take this land. And so the story goes on that the people are upset. They're still afraid. And they're so afraid, they're so mad, they're about to stone everybody, Moses, Caleb, Joshua, they're about to stone them. And God speaks and he stops this whole thing. And he makes a comment about this Caleb fella. He says, Caleb, out of all these men that have gone into the land, Caleb is going to, as a matter of fact, let's look at that. Numbers chapter 14, 22 and 24 says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, I will bring him into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So God has made note of the fact that Caleb has a spirit of faith. He believes God's word. He has established, he has settled God's word in his heart. So God said he will see it. So then in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, God goes to Moses. It reads, and now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, I love the Lord. The Lord is just, he just says it like it is. Says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, thou art old and stricken in years. But he goes on to say that, and there is yet much land to be possessed. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, I love this because God goes to Joshua. Joshua is old. Joshua is probably tired. Joshua has fought every battle that they fought from the time they left Egypt. Joshua has put in some hours. He's put in some serious time. And God goes to him and says, Joshua, I know you're old. I'm paraphrasing, and he didn't say this. He probably said, I know you're tired. I know you're tired of this crazy folk. No, he didn't say that. But he says, I'm not finished yet. I've got a promise to keep, Joshua. You and I started this together, Joshua, and we've got to finish it. And so we've got work to do. I need you to go ahead and to divide the land out. And Joshua does this. And when he does, there's this guy named Caleb. Remember Caleb? Caleb was the one that God testified that he would go in and possess the land. So when he starts to divide the land out, Caleb goes to him and he says, Joshua, do you remember? I love this. He says, Joshua, do you remember the day when you and I came back from spying out the land and the 10 people gave the evil report, we gave the good report, and God spoke something concerning me. Do you remember? See, I remember. He said, do you remember? Joshua said, I was 40 years old when God spoke that word to me. He says, I'm 85 years old now. 45 years ago, God spoke something to my heart, and I believe that God spoke it, and when God speaks, that settles it. Amen. He says, do you remember that God said, every place that my feet tread upon, he's going to give it to me. So he says, I'm 85 years old, but my confidence in God's faithfulness is so established. I believe God's word so much that if he said when I was 40 years old that I could go in and possess the land, I'm believing that at 85 years old, I am still well able. He says, remember there were giants in the land. Remember the walls were fortified. None of that matters in comparison to the word that God spoke. I count God faithful. He says, at 85 years old, I know that because of God's word and his commitment to his word and his commitment to keep his covenant, to keep his promise, that he has kept me alive so he can keep his word. He's kept me alive these 45 years so that he could keep his promise. He says, and at 85 years old, because I believe that God is faithful. At 85 years old, because I believe God honors his word. At 85 years old, I am as confident right now. I am as strong right now as I was 45 years ago to go in. The giants are still in the land. He's not just handing the land over to Caleb and saying, here's a nicely wrapped gift for you. No, Caleb knows he still has to go in and fight the giants. Caleb knows he still has to go in and overcome the walled cities. But Caleb knows that his God is God. He knows that the Lord his God is faithful. He knows that the Lord his God keeps his covenant and his mercy to 1,000 generations, to them that love him and keep his commandment. I got a question for you. How many Calebs do we have in here today? How many Calebs do we have in here today? How many Calebs do we have in here today? Here's one. There's another one. Well, there's one there. There's one in the back. There's a whole bunch of Calebs in here. Listen, God is faithful. He always finishes what he starts. And if you will establish this in your heart, if you will just be determined to believe that God is faithful, that he is God, that he is for you and not against you, that he has a plan for your life, that he is committed to you, you will see. You will see the promise come to pass. Don't worry about it. Some of you have been waiting for 2 years. Some have been waiting for 6 months. Some have been waiting for 5 and 10 years, 12 years, 20 years. It might be concerning some of you women are looking for a husband. You men are looking for a good wife. I waited for mine. She's a good thing. And Caleb waited for 45 years. And the difference in Caleb receiving the promise and not receiving the promise is he held on to the fact that his God was faithful. If you can't hold on to the promise, just hold on to the fact that your God is faithful. And he'll reestablish, he'll firm up that shakiness in you. He'll bring that thing to your attention, and he'll bring to your heart the words that will build you up in faith, that will strengthen your faith, and that will cause you to lay hold, to hold fast like a pit bull, to stick like glue, to cling to like ivy. Amen. Amen. You guys listen so good. Thank you so much. I tell you what, it's such an honor and a privilege to be here to share with you. Thank you for listening. This has encouraged my heart. I tell you what, this is my golden text. I will count the Lord faithful. I will count him faithful. No matter what comes, I will count him faithful. Amen. Amen. Listen, thank you so much for coming. We're going to go to pray.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoy the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.